Oasis Podcast, Episode 15, Tony McCarroll. Welcome to the Oasis Podcast, Episode 15. The one that we've all been waiting for. This is Tony McCarroll. So I've got my first actual, real-life, proper, full-on member of Oasis on the Oasis podcast. So we had Mark Feltham, who played with them in Nebworth and played on a few of the recordings. We had Steve White, who was on the Brotherly Love tour. But now we have Tony McCarroll, one of the original founding members of Rain that then went on to be Oasis. And yeah, I couldn't be happier to have him on. And as you'll hear in the interview, I think a big thanks for him coming on has to actually go to Brian Garcia, because Tony and Brian have had a bit to do with each other, and I think it was seeing Brian's episode and the massive response that got that sort of convinced Tony that this was a worthwhile way for him to spend an hour or so of his time talking to me. So so thank you to Brian Garcia. Thank you so much to Tony for coming on and speaking to me. So that is going to be coming up shortly. So just a couple of other bits as we do over here. First off, thank you to Paolo Hewitt for the last episode. It was really good fun to speak to Paolo. He's an absolute hero of mine with his writing. He's just brilliant. And so I'm pleased you guys enjoyed the episode with Paolo. That was great. And yes, there's still been some more news. So Oasis is still in the news. As I say, it's only been a couple of days, really. I'm recording this on Friday morning. Now, forgive me if I'm babbling even more than usual. I was up until about 4:30 last night watching the UK election results come in. And so I'm working on about 2.5 hours sleep. So I'm trying my best. But yeah, Oasis have still been in the news for the last couple of days. Following the One Love Manchester concert, Noel didn't come out and officially say it, but people close to him came out and said yes, he will be donating all the royalties from the performance of Don't Look Back in Anger to the fund for the people that were killed and injured in Manchester. And also and then it's just come out as well that Liam's going to do the same, so the royalties that he had from that particular song are going to go to those, which is a class move from those guys. So that's great, and it's great to see, you know, Oasis albums. I think Time Flies was currently number one in the iTunes chart, which is absolutely incredible. Amazing to see them back in the charts. Obviously not for a particularly good reason, if a lot of it was down to that One Love Manchester. But, you know, I think that just Liam being back and it being so... and being in the press and being on the TV and everything would have driven that anyway. But, just fantastic to see Oasis back in public consciousness, back in the charts, people talking about them. It's great to see. And speaking of charts... The Oasis podcast is currently riding high in the iTunes charts music category. Now, I haven't even really taken any notice of the iTunes charts, and having just moved over to our new network Audio Boom, just the other day I just thought I'd have a quick scan down the iTunes music charts, you know, not expecting to see our name on it, and there we were, number 17, which I just couldn't believe it, because we were ahead of people like Annie Mac. We're ahead of Nick Grimshaw, you know, we're a couple of places behind Graham Norton, you know, all these like huge, you know, BBC shows, you know, I couldn't believe it, you know. So how we've managed to get on there, I think a big thank you to Audio Boom, because obviously, you know, while the numbers have increased, I don't think they've increased that significantly to suddenly appear on the charts where we weren't before. So, it must be that Audio Boom got a bit more sway with iTunes. So that was just great to see. But that is primarily down, I believe, to obviously the fact that, you know, we're getting a lot of people listening to the podcast, but it's also driven by those ratings and reviews. So I'm sorry that I bang on about this in every episode, but if you want us to be featuring higher in the charts and then getting better guests on, up to the caliber of Tony McCarroll, then yeah, the best way you can help me with that is just by going onto iTunes and giving me 5 stars and writing a review. So if you can do that, that'd be great. And as you know, what I do whenever people do that is I read them out. And so now's as good a time as any to have a look at that, because we have had one more review in the last couple of days since since last episode, which is from Martial Artist 2, and this is titled Amazing Makes Time Fly. And he says, interesting and educational podcasts to listen to during the day. Great for all Oasis fans. Looking forward to more podcasts in the future. And hopefully one or both of the Gallagher brothers appear on here soon. Well, thank you so much, Martial Artist 2. I would also, obviously, I'd love to have Liam and Noel on, and they are welcome to come on any time. So Liam, Noel, if you're listening, come on down. The other one as well that I think, you know, it would be great to get would be Bonehead. Bonehead, as I think he's aware of the podcast, he's liked tweets that we were tagged in, so he knows about us. And so, yeah, we're just hoping that he also sees the benefit, same as Tony did, of coming over and having a chat. So if you want to help out with that, then the best way to do it is just to tweet at Bonehead's page on Twitter. And if he sees like a barrage of tweets coming in saying that, you know, it's a worthwhile exercise for him to come and spend an hour chatting to me, then, hey, we might get him. And yeah, seeing as Alan White and Gwigsy are sort of pretty much disappeared from public view, and then sort of Gem and Andy and Zach Starkey and Chris Sharrock are all very much working musicians and very, very busy, I think the best chance we've got is to get actual Oasis members is going to be Bonehead. So if you can help me out with that would be great. There's a couple of other bits of Oasis news. Liam tweeted that his solo album is finished, so that's good to know. We've had a few bit of discussions on the old Twitter and Facebook and things about the fact that it's quite strange that he appears to be playing so many new songs while it's still a good few months before the album actually comes out. You'd think he would be holding some of those tracks back or maybe playing more Oasis songs, but yeah, I think there's a good chance that we're going to be getting another single at some point, you know, in between now and the album officially coming. So we look forward to hearing that, obviously. And then, and then just a little bit of the fallout from the... I mentioned it on the last episode, the fact that Liam had kind of had a go at Noel for not turning up at that One Love Manchester gig. And after that Pink Pop performance, of which I played a little clip last episode... Liam was also interviewed on there, and he talked about that in a bit more detail. So let's have a little bit of that here.
Well, obviously, I saw your Twitter this morning. Your brother, you really wanted him to be there.
No, I mean, it's not about whether I wanted him to be there. I just think he should have been there, you know what I mean? He's like, you know, he's from Manchester, you know, and he should have been there, mate. It's nothing to do with me, man. And all this, like, people are going, oh, you know, he's staying away because of Liam. And it's like, fuck off, mate. I'd have gone up to him and give him grief, you know what I mean? If he was in the next dressing room, I'd have gone, all right. And then he'd have gone on and done his thing. It's nothing to do with Oasis getting back together. I'm getting fucking sick of that. It's like, fuck Oasis. Oasis has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He should have been there. He should have been there as a musician to go on and play songs for them beautiful kids that were killed and injured, you know what I mean? But he wasn't. That's life. Next time you see him, you ask him the question.
Yeah.
I made my... My thing is clear on Twitter.
A few other bits, just to give a shout out to a few community members. The next episode coming up is with a guy called Nick Ames, who's a journalist and an author. And he has written a book called She's Electric, which is a novel set in Britpop times. And that has, we talk about it in the episode coming up next week, but that has been optioned now to be a film. And they have officially now launched that. So if you want to maybe support that film, they're looking for donations to get things moving on that. That's at sheselectricmovie.com, or if you follow them at sheselectricmov on Twitter. As I say, get in touch with those guys. Nick was very kind enough to come on the podcast. So yeah, if you want to support art, then yeah, go and have a look at the different reward options and go and support them. Just to let you know, I've, once again, talking about Twitter, we were doing polls on the best Oasis album, and I seeded it, and that was good fun figuring out the seeding. Basically, I ignored what everyone else had said and just went with my own seedings. And it ended up being pretty obvious in that the first four albums, because it's to make quarterfinals, I included The Master Plan as an album, which some people said, that's not an album, it's a collection of B-sides. Yes, I know, but if we're going to do eight... then it's just nice to get quarterfinals. Otherwise, it's, you know, with seven, how can you do that? So, yeah, so basically, I seeded it, and the first four ended up going through into the semi-finals against each other. Definitely maybe beat the Master Plan. Morning Glory beat Be Here Now. And then in the final, definitely maybe beat Morning Glory. So according to us, according to the Oasis podcast Twitter followers, Definitely Maybe is officially the best Oasis album. Quick shout out to Ross Hayes, who we've played a mix on here before. He's done a mix of I'm Out of Time. And yeah, I'll only, you know, I'll only play a little bit here, but go and check that out on his YouTube channel. If you just search for Hazed and Oasis, then you'll find him. But this is a great little mix of I'm Out of Time. Another shout out goes to Christopher Robinson, who has set up the 21 Pilots podcast, and he's very much inspired by what we've done with the Oasis podcast, and he gives me a nice shout out on the at the end of his first episode. So if you check him out at 21 Pilots podcast on Twitter, as I say, even if you're not a big 21 Pilots fan, it's not going to be purely based around 21 Pilots. He's going to be talking to people and just digging. He's going to be digging into a lot of other different types of music. He's a massive Oasis fan. He's a big Pink Floyd fan and all these other bands. So I think we're going to be on there. He's going to be digging in, speaking to lots of different people about all kinds of music, but with the underlying theme being 21 Pilots. So yeah, please check that out and tell him the Oasis podcast sent you. And just to let you know, as I've moved over to Audio Boom now, you will have noticed now that there's, you may have heard adverts at the start of the show, which is just very useful for me because it means that I'm not having to pay a monthly fee now. So apologies if those adverts are a little bit annoying, but there we go. One of the cool things about Audio Boom is that the stats are a bit more detailed, so I can actually break down, you know, how many listens we've been getting, even like breaking down to gender. I think we're about 12% female, 88% male at the moment, which is interesting to see. And yeah, and the split geographical. So obviously it's primarily UK. We've got the US, Canada, France, Sweden are the main places that people are listening. So that's just really interesting to see, I think. And it also splits it by city as well. And so I can see kind of that there's particular pockets of, you know, of where people do sort of tend to listen to us. And as I've said in here before, yeah, I'd love to hear from you. If you are listening in Sweden or Japan or America, wherever it is, record a little audio file. Record a little file, even if it's just on an iPhone, Voice Memos app or something like that. Email that over. Just say, giving a quick comment on, you know, the podcast or a particular episode you've enjoyed, or just whatever you want to do, and just saying hello, and I'll play it. You know, just so you can be heard on the Oasis podcast. As I've said in here before, one of the issues with moving over to Audio Boom is that I really need to follow the rules and only have 30-second music clips. And so what I've been doing is just going back and re-editing. And while I've been going back and doing those re-edits, what I've also been doing is just tidying them up a little bit, because that first sort of two or three episodes I just kind of just threw up there. I didn't really know what I was doing, and I just wanted to get them up, so I didn't spend a huge amount of time editing them. So yeah, so the kind of a few people have sort of come back online and said, oh yeah, the it's quite a shock that the levels sort of are out, and then the music kicks in, it's suddenly massively louder, and you know, people got to turn down their volume and things like that. Yeah, sorry about that. That should be better. So if you go back and listen to episode one again, that you will have heard that I've re-recorded that now, so that's just sounds a little bit nicer. And then over the coming weeks, I'll be going back and re-editing the other ones as well. So if you sort of started listening to those and thought and didn't really enjoy the experience because of my shoddy recording and editing, then yeah, over the coming weeks, I'll give you a heads up when it's sounding a bit better to go back and listen to those. And just finally, this is probably the last reminder we'll get before the What's the Story night on the 17th of June in Northampton. So there are still some tickets left. I've spoke to the What's the Story guys. I'm going to be there from about 9 o'clock in the area, and I'll be on sort of active on Twitter. So if you're around and you want to come and meet me and say hello, and come on down, drop me a tweet. We'll let you know where we are. And yeah, so we'll be drinking somewhere nearby, probably from about 9, and then we'll be in the Charles Bradlaugh from 10 for the What's the Story night. And it's going to be 10 till 3, and it's going to be a great night. I'm going to be recording as well, so I'm going to try and get around lots of different people and just do quick introductions and record that. And then we're going to put out an episode just based on all those little bits of interviews and things from that night. So I think that'll be a little bit different, and I think that'll be a really good episode. So yeah, if you haven't booked, come on down. It's going to be a great night. It's going to be really good fun. Great music from 10 till 3 in the morning. And I think it's like tickets from £5, so it's nothing. So come on down and we'll see you there. So joining me after this brief musical interlude is the legendary Tony McCarroll. Tony, how you doing, mate?
Good, James. How are you, pal? You all right?
Very good, thank you. So thank you so much for coming on the Oasis podcast. It's very, very much appreciated. And I know the listeners will be absolutely chuffed to have you on, because from day one, from starting this, it's been the case of get Tony on. So yeah. So thank you so much for coming on.
When I seen the hits that Brian Garcia got, I thought, I've got to beat Brian Garcia. So that's it.
Well,
that's
what
this is all about, me and Brian Garcia.
Well, he will absolutely love that, because he's got the record so far. So the record was Brian Cannon, and then Brian Garcia beat Brian Cannon's record.
Wow.
And then last week was Steve White. And he didn't beat Brian Garcia, so Brian Garcia is officially more popular with the Oasis fans than Steve White. There you go.
Well, this is the only reason why I'm here, believe me. Yeah, Brian Garcia, to beat that man. And he's a lovely guy, by the way. I've spoken to him a few times, only joking.
Yeah, well, he did on your episode. Yes, I think it was on the episode, actually. He said that he's been in touch with you a bit.
Nice guy.
He is. And I tell you what, he's got... it's just one of those people, isn't it, that you think just a solid, just a good soul. You know, that's sort
of... Yes, and I've never physically met him as such, but I can sense that straight away. He's a lovely guy, without a doubt.
Yeah.
He really is.
Yeah.
So, instant.
Yeah, did it kind of freak you out, though, that this, like, this guy from, you know, this young guy from South, just from West Texas or whatever, is just completely obsessed with you guys? I suppose, and as a, you know, as someone who was there... Then, you know, people like Brian and other fans, like massive fans, that are just obsessed with it. Does it, like, kind of do your head in a bit? Does it freak you out?
No. You know, at the end of the day, the Oasis are the worldwide hit. And, you know, it's nice to know that, you know, all corners of the globe, really, that people are watching it. And, you know, like I say, he's a lovely chap. And stuff. As we know, spoke to him a couple of times.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely not, no. Like, he's after my collection, I do know that lot, but yeah, I'm like, whoa, we'll see. I've got a conservatory to build, so.
have you still got much from the...
Yeah, lots of discs. I mean, you know, there's things that, I've got to say, Brian's nudged me on, and I'm going, no, where do they think that'd be? You know, you know, will I sell it? I don't know, I'm not saying that I'll go through with everything, but I never thought that it'd be of interest, really. Mm.
Yeah,
I mean, there was something he suggested the other day. What was it? Clothes from a video or something? I'm like going, what? Really? And I happen to have the same pair of jeans on from 25 years ago, so... Yeah. I took them off and washed them immediately.
Yeah, you shouldn't have washed them, mate. That's it. You've lost an extra 50 quid off them now.
Well, they needed washing, mate. Seriously.
No, well, I mean, it is just... That is just weird, though, isn't it? That something that was... Yeah, fine if it's handwritten lyrics and things like that, but yeah. Something so sort of you wouldn't think of, but actually, yeah, there is such a... it is such a legend, especially that sort of... That couple of years, you know, from 93 to sort of, you know, early 95 when you were there, it was... It's the rise.
Years.
Yeah, it's the most important side, so...
Yeah.
Well, maybe... maybe 95 to 97 was quite important as well, but you know, I think
there was just a few more people turned up, that was all.
Well, it's quite funny though, when we you know, I've been doing sort of polls and questions and things on this, and you know, and definitely maybe constantly wins, you know, whenever I put a poll out there, best album, definitely maybe always wins, you know, especially with the British guys. I mean, the Americans tend to favour Morning Glory, and even a lot of Be Here Now fans in America as well. But yeah, definitely maybe is just constantly. It's never been beaten, and obviously you were literally the driving force behind it, you know. So
you know, it was a mishmash of an album. You know, I can't say two tunes that are somewhat the same on there. Like you know, it was built up over a couple of years.
Yeah.
The energy, the rawness of it, the budget, we'll say.
Mm.
You know, I think after my time, then you know, there was a lot more money involved. But it was like get in there and do that in two takes and shut up. Yeah, quick. Yeah, so. I was done in half an hour, everything done.
That is amazing. But that's what the Beatles did, though, right? You know, that's what the Beatles did, and I think you can hear that.
Yeah, yeah, it's quite nerve-wracking, the whole, you know, experience, you know, something new to me back in the studio back then, surrounded by 5 million mates. It's like, God, you know, don't fart, don't do anything wrong, do you know what I mean? But, yeah, we, you know, Owen used to say, you know, I'll do no more than five takes because you'd be somewhat maybe losing your energy then.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, have a go at five times, and you know, majority of the time we nailed it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and just while talking about Definitely Maybe, I mean, the one thing that sort of really jumps out, you know, I went back and listened to that, obviously in preparation for speaking to you. Well, I listen to it all the time anyway, but specifically listening out for the drumming and stuff. And the amazing thing is that and while you've had sort of very unfair criticism over the years from certain parties, actually, how many songs in that time period start with an isolated drum track? Start with you, you know, and it, and a lot of the most important ones did, like Live Forever and Supersonic.
We'd grown together, you know, matured together somewhat musically, and you know, that was my input. I mean, Supersonic, I don't know if Noel will remember this, but I was sound checking at the Real People studio, and I think we're there to do Bring It On Down or something like that, which, you know, whatever anybody says, in the end it just wasn't the right tune to release at the time. Hindsight's a great thing, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we were, you know, I don't know if I set up some new cymbals, I don't know exactly what happened, but anyway, I was just, as you know, the simple beat to the start of Supersonic, for example, and then next thing, Noel cracks open the door, he says, keep that going, and bang, Supersonic came together within minutes. So whether it was one that he had up his sleeve, or whether it came together that night, I haven't got a clue, but, so, that's how it all happened, but, you know, again, we all had our own input, there's nothing on there that, you know, Noel had structured for anybody, if you like.
No, and so, I mean, like, on a similar tip as well, I mean, Live Forever, once again, it's that iconic drum beat that kicks it off. And but once it, like, when you're arranging the songs, is it like, let's start with four bars of that, or was that kind of just decided as a group, or was that more Noel saying?
Well, it's rehearsals, like, you know, and then it's something, well, you know, when I think back, there was some kind of a, was it some kind of an acoustic-y sort of intro, and then, but then, you know, where the idea came, I'm sure it was my own, but, you know, like, you know, what about this? And it lasted, and as you say, it stuck.
Yeah.
So, and a great intro.
No, it's fantastic. Well, it is different, and it's so iconic. That's the thing. It's. I mean, now you hear it, and it's like, oh, that's Live Forever. You know, that's it. But
instant.
But you sort of forget that what it was at the time, and you know, and literally coming out of the speakers, you're like, what the hell is this? But
I mean, I think Alan McGee once upon a time said about, you know, was he referring back to the 70s or something, you know, the drummers back then, you know, there was a lot of intros with drumming as such.
Yeah.
And not that it was on purpose, again, it was a hindsight thing on Alan's behalf. And, you know, it made sense. It really made sense. So, yeah, stuck.
Yeah, no, nice one. I mean, well, we've kind of jumped about, but I mean, just the reason that, you know, it's so great to hear from you is that, you know, your book was just an absolute revelation, you know. I mean, we were waiting so long for, as Oasis fans, to, you know, to have that story written down. And because, you know, you've got the Paolo Hewitt book and you've got other bits and pieces and you can piece together interviews and articles, but what I loved about your book, you know, well, one of the main things was, you know, you don't just start with, you know, 1993, Alan McGee walks it. You get all those great stories about growing up in Manchester and all those characters like, you know, the trampy and Jimmy the Butt and the policeman and Bigger. Yeah. I love all that stuff. You know, you could almost skip the Oasis stuff. I mean, and that in itself is just such an entertaining, you know, story of Manchester in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, well, it was a case of, you know, it was me friend who wrote it together, sat in my kitchen for a good year drinking tea in the evening, like, and he's like, where do we start? Where do we end? You know, the guy who wrote it, Richard, he never wrote a book in his life, but, you know, should we have a go at this? And he was like, yeah, damn it, come on, let's do it. And he did an absolutely fantastic job. He really did.
Yeah.
And, you know, we started at the beginning, knee height or whatever it might have been.
Yeah.
And then we'll start there and see what happens, get the curve, as they might call it. So to the somewhat end of my career in Oasis. So,
yeah
it was, and it just, you know, when we put it down and was like, put it down on paper, if you like, going, yeah, it has to start there. It's, you know, it's, I mean, as a youngster, following marching bands on the streets and stuff like that, it was all relevant, you know. And again, also, I'd be the stooge, if you like, at family weddings, who come the end of the night, they'd sit me on there, and a guy, you know, I couldn't reach the pedals, I couldn't reach the foot pedals, but it was just, if you like, entertaining for the family. And and I'm talking 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, that sort of an age. And drumming was my thing, really.
Yeah. No, I love it. I just love all that. I mean, I come from an Irish family as well, so getting this the Irish background, and that's definitely, I mean, you get the feel for that, you know, from Oasis. And it's even doing this, and Americans have been asking me, kind of like I'm some sort of expert, you know, I don't know. But like, oh, what was it? And what is that humour? And it's like, well, it's a very Mancunian humour, but it's also a very Irish humour, I think. It's that.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd even cross that over to the music. I really would. You know, that punch the air kind of Celtic rock that we grew up with, or whatever it might have been. It was always played in our house, and I'm very sure that it had an influence on every member of Oasis, without a doubt. So it crossed. It's a natural thing.
On that front, actually, one of the strange things that Someone did ask this question. I'll credit them later. Sorry, I'm not going to dig it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously you're an Irish, you know, obviously you're born there, and well, some of you born there, some are born in Ireland, but then sort of, you know, you have the big Union Jack painted in the rehearsal room, and then Noel with his Union Jack guitar. I mean, what that always surprised me, sort of coming from an Irish Catholic background.
I can't comment. I really don't know on that. Why? I don't know. I don't know.
Just like the only thing I think, I suppose it's like the pop art kind of, they used it, you know, the Who used it, and Keith Moon had his famous Union Jack. So it's more like a symbol, like using the mod target or whatever, rather than meaning
possibly,
anything.
Yeah, I got with a bit of that, but, you know, we can never deny his roots, and I don't know why he used that at the time. I can't answer for him.
Yeah,
but,
no, fair,
you know,
yeah.
As we grew bigger in Ireland, then Noel became more Irish, I suppose, if you like.
Well, that's something you say in the book. It's like suddenly you think, oh, where's that come from then? You know, and it's sort of, it is. I suppose it depends. It must be hard when you're being interviewed. You kind of, your sort of story changes depending on who you're being interviewed by. And I think maybe that all the guys in the band have been a bit guilty of that, maybe.
Yeah, well, you know, again, I suppose you're adding humour to an interview, so whatever, whatever that might mean or what relevance or whatever, you know, hand in hand, really. So it doesn't really matter where you come from, I suppose. No.
Cool. I was just going to ask, like, you know, sort of going back to kind of the very early days, like the pre kind of Gallagher days, even, because this is an area that, you know, when I've put it out on the for questions for on the, like, especially with the Live Forever forum, so shout out to the guys over there who are probably know more about Oasis than any of you lot, but but the one thing, I mean, the question that they sort of had is like the early demos, they're like the Colour My Life and Alice, and sort of other insight into those, that, like, you know, for instance, we've sort of heard that, well, maybe Bonehead co-wrote, you know, so there's, you know, who
Take Me, I think it was, in
so you've got,
we only had one or two tunes, like, when, you know, Noel came on board, and that's you know, his influence, and Colour My Life. Bonehead did write Take Me, but Noel added to it. Bonehead and Liam even wrote Take Me. There was a couple of, I can't remember all the titles, but we only had one or two tunes, we really did, and then when Noel joined, it started sort of moulding the sound and different songs. None of them crossed over, I don't think, to Definitely Maybe, but, you know, you just matured as a band, and songwriting, structures of songs, advice from the real people, for example.
Absolutely.
You know, it kind of moulded us and ready for the road and for a recording contract, if you like.
Yeah. I think saying about the real people, I mean, that comes across so much in your book. You know, you clearly want to give them as big a shout out as possible.
Without a doubt, they were thrown off the bus at some point, and it's like, well, these lads have done us massive favours.
Yeah,
you know, they really did, and I think they came to the end of their recording contract, and I suppose you've got that bug of not wanting to let it go. But I can't credit them lads enough, and I do wish Oasis and the other members would you know, give them a shout sometimes.
Well, I mean, there's the hilarious one. I'll drop in a clip of it here. Is one of the real people songs that, you know, the song Don't Go Away by Oasis is literally, you know that tune?
Wow.
It's ridiculous. It's like,
oh, God, yeah. So, is that, well, I don't, you know, it's too blindingly obvious. It really is.
I know, and you just, but especially like with the, you know, I think that, but I think to be fair, I think that you know, the fans know, right? You know, the fans know how important they were, and but it was just, as I say, it's just really good that your book called that out, because you didn't need to do that, you know, in your book, but yeah, you really, obviously that must have been important to you to get that out there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm still in touch with the lads now, so, you know, may well be doing something, not on a musical side, but maybe getting involved with them quite soon. I actually heard from Chris Griffiths last week, but total respect to them lads, all of them. Chris, Tony, Martin, a lot of them.
Yeah, no, fair enough. That's great. And then talking about sort of keeping in touch with people, I mean, what about, you know, the sort of, it seems to be the Oasis curse that people sort of tend to disappear off the face of the earth after they sort of... Do we know about Chris Hutton? Did you ever stay in touch with him?
I can't say I stayed in touch, but, you know, it's always, you know, lots of love shown for each other once we do, you know, come across each other here and there. You know, Chris, I consider him a friend without a doubt.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunate that he didn't cross over with us, if you like. But, you know, that's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes. Mm. But, you know, we found something and we moved on very quickly, so.
Yeah. No, fair enough. And what about the other guys? You still stay in touch with sort of without the Gallaghers, but like Gwigs, Boned, still see it?
I've not seen Gwigs from the day, you know, the last gig we ever did together.
Yeah.
You know, compliments to Gwigs. I really, really would love to say hello. Do you know what I mean? I would.
Mm-hmm.
Got much love and respect for Gwigs and all of them. But how do I put it? Bonehead now and again, and I mean really now and again, we happened on each other. That's always pleasant. The biggest, you know, the one before Christmas was Liam.
Yeah.
It was the Supersonic film.
Yeah.
Now I didn't plan going back to the hotel. It was actually Brian Cannon who said, "Yo, come here to the hotel." I was legless, let's put it that way. So I had a bit of confidence behind me. Come on then, fuck it, let's have it. So went into the hotel in town, up a few floors, and there was like a balcony bar or whatever. It was hammered, lots of people there. And I said, "Where's Liam?" I said, over there. I went over and I just stood him. I went, "Oi." And he just stood up, the biggest Tony, man, fuck it. And it, you know what? It was brilliant. It was absolutely excellent to see him.
Great.
You know, it really was. And I was so nervous, if you like, and it was 20 odd years, and I'm like, Jesus, how's this gonna go? I was out of my face, is the truth, drunk, and it was like, couldn't even get me fucking words out, whatever. And even, you know, that would have been difficult, maybe sober.
Yeah.
But you know, it you know, compliments to Liam. He called Debbie's new partner over and said, "Look, we need a chat in there." Me and him, fan as the table, and sat with him. He brought over this 3-part shot I've never seen in my life. It probably cost about 300 quid each, you know. But fuck me, I was out of my head after that. I was like, what? But just natural chat. It was like, "How's your man over here?" Blah, blah, blah. And it was brilliant. It really was. And then a few people started surrounding the table and stuff, and a bit, it was like, right, enough. So, but just that initial contact, hello, blah, blah, and walked away feeling on top of the world. I really did. But, you know, well, look, I do respect him. I know he's got a nuts life. He really has.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's a great guy. He really is. I know he's still there. So.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's really nice you had that. And sort of, I mean, and one of the questions that one of the guys asked actually is if Liam had got in touch and said, "Tony, come and drum for my new solo band," would you have done that?
I don't have to answer that, do I? Without a doubt, yes, without a doubt. I'd love that, my God, yes, without a doubt. I'd love to help him out and be there, be part of it.
Yeah.
somewhat a reunion, as I referred to it at one point.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, Boned got on stage, I don't know if you saw this, but Boned got on stage with him at Manchester a couple of nights ago. Yeah, yesterday. Yeah. So he was, so the Manchester Ritz gig, and Boned came on, they finished with Be Here Now, and Boned came on and played that with him.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
so that was nice to see.
You know, all I can say is thank God for Facebook and live streaming, because I did try for a ticket, honestly. I don't want anything for anything, but I didn't try then too hard for a guest list, but I was like in my heart and soul, I was like, I want to see this, I want to know what's happened, I want to know, I want to be there, I really want to be there. So I didn't get a ticket, and I heard they were going for stupid money outside, which, considering the point of which again is a great point, Liam donating all the funds to what's recently happened in Manchester, that wouldn't have been the right thing to do. So clicked on Facebook at home, like, oh my God, I'm there.
You can watch it. Yeah. You're not getting beer spilt on you and ruining your shoes either.
Exactly, with my brew at home. I'm like, yeah, nice one, feet up. And brilliant gig, without a doubt.
So anyone out there moaning that they didn't get a ticket, Tony McCarroll didn't get a ticket, so stop moaning if Tony...
Do you know what I mean? Do you know who I am, for God's sake?
That's it. See, mate, but I think the problem is that you haven't got that big mop of curly hair anymore. That's the...
Although... I can blend in. I'm what you call a blender now, so I just blend in anywhere,
I suppose that's the thing with your Liam and Noel, is that they will never be able to go anywhere ever again without getting all that abuse. And even
absolutely.
Bonehead, even Bonehead is so recognisable, isn't he? Whereas you've got that. You can just...
Well, I'll tell you a little story about somebody I met about, my God, was it 2 years ago on a New Year's Eve? A friend of mine came up to the pub and he said, listen, he says, a friend of mine, she's a reporter over there, massive, massive Oasis fan. She'd really love to meet you. I'm like, yeah, not a problem, mate, not a problem. This girl came over, she almost walked past me, yeah. And then, tapped her on the shoulder, yeah, this is Tony, oh my God. She looked me up and down going, is that fucking it? Is that what you turned into? I'm like, I shrunk, believe me, I shrunk. But evolution and all that, mate.
No, that's it, you just need to get a little a wig and just chuck it on every now and then. There you are, there's Tony.
Big rock star shades, I'm back. Maybe that's the problem with Liam, you don't want any bald men on stage. I don't know what's going on.
That's there. It, they've all got to have that. It's funny, isn't it, like all the guys, they're sort of, the band around them stays sort of 28, and then they I mean, Liam, to be fair to him, still looks about 28, but the, especially with Noel's band as well, it's like they tend to surround themselves with handsome young men, that's true,
and haircuts,
with good haircuts, yeah.
No, mine just grows sideways now, that's it. Yeah, nothing on top.
The other one I was going to say, what about the other guys? I mean, did you ever, the people post you, like, so your Alan White and your Gem and Andy, are they people you knew?
Never had contact with Alan, but I do occasionally have, great contact with Steve White.
Yeah.
I'm sure Alan's, I call it the drummer's union, if you like.
Yeah.
I've never ever had a problem with a drummer in my life kind of thing.
No.
At the end of the day, it's not Alan's fault that he took my seat, if you like.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure our paths might cross one day somewhere, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
no, nice.
Can you hear that dip in there? My the line's going, yeah. Can you hear that dip in your end?
No.
That's all right.
Is that all right? Yeah. No, that's Liam saying, come on, mate, head down to Brixton. I'm on stage in 10 minutes. There you go.
It's fucking bone, it's hang about, yeah. Just hold on there a minute, yeah?
Go on.
No, fucking... I might come back with good news.
Yeah.
Going on tour.
I was going to say, are you doing anything musical?
I've always got a kit set up, and I can play, put my headphones on. I've got dampeners, if you like, on the, the kit upstairs. You somewhat keep yourself fit, but it's a case of put my headphones on, and I'm at Wembley every day.
Yeah.
Really. I can play to anything, practice, but it's keeping your hand in it. It's like swimming. It's something you never forget, if you like.
Yeah. One of the cool things, speaking to Steve White, one of the good things he does via his website is you can send him like your track, and he'll go ahead. Yeah, that, I thought that was a really cool.
That is amazing.
That was a really cool idea.
Very talented man as well. Absolutely very talented man.
Yeah.
I wish I had his arms and his brain, if I could possibly just transplant them into me somehow. My God, yeah.
I know. Well, he's, yeah. I mean, obviously, like, he's, what, you know, all different styles as well, the bossa nova and all these kind of crazy styles that
he
can do.
He's a dedicated man to his talent, to his profession. He's wonderful. And he's such a nice guy. He really is such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Really down to earth kind of thing.
Yeah, I really enjoyed speaking to him.
He's a great lad.
I was just going to go back. So, in the you know, going back to your book, I mean, the mad thing was, you know, having watched Supersonic, I was like, hold on a minute, have they literally taken the chapters from your book? You see what I mean? It was like...
Well, I was probably the only one who had a memory, do you know what I mean? Yeah.
But so I wonder if he used, you know, if, I mean, I'm actually getting Matt Whitecross on in a bit, and
yeah.
I'm going to ask that, because it really does feel like, you know, they do a big section on the Whiskey A Go-Go gig, you do, you know, and it's like, well, hold on a minute, that's bloody... I mean, they are, fine, they're key moments, but it does feel very close to your, it basically being the film of your book.
You know, I'm not the only, I didn't say it, but a lot of people have approached me and said, no way, you know, they picked that from your book. I'm like, it can be too detailed, if you like, to deny it.
It seems very close. But,
So,
but I mean, the only thing like so that king, the Whiskey A Go-Go gig, I mean, I don't think they, I don't think they mentioned it in the film about, like, seeing someone get shot that day. I mean, that's just, you know, you guys went and took a load of crystal meth and then tried to play the gig, which is pretty bad, but actually seeing
the
someone...
night before that, the shooting, and there was, I think I walked up with Liam, I think this is the case, and then there was a bad, it was either one way or the other way around, and you know, there was a couple of band members or crew, if you like, dragging behind. I'm sure I walked in with Liam. By the time they came back, it was somebody's just being shot. I was like, fuck. Do you know, this, it was something we'd never seen. Do you know what I mean? And of course, America's a different world, as we know.
Yeah.
But we've caught up. We've caught up probably a bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Manchester, the way you describe it growing up is pretty, you know, pretty violent place, but it wasn't guns yet, you know, came later, didn't it?
No, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was toe-to-toe at least, and, you know, it's a tough place to grow up, depending where you came from, being, well, I'm Levenshulme, M19, the lads at Burnage, M19, Gallagher's. It was a tough little place, like, and nobody took any kind of bullshit, like, and you had to stand up for yourself, or, you know, as you know, you'd be ripped to pieces, so...
Yeah.
You know, it was something in us all, attitude, if you like.
Yeah. No, nice one, mate. Well, I tell you what, let me just run. How are you still okay for time?
Yeah, carry on,
cool,
mate.
Cool, cool. Well, I'm just going to go and hit some questions from the... let's hit Live Forever Forum, because they've got some interesting stuff. So, my big name says, did you enjoy or listen to any of Oasis' later music? Be Here Now, Standing on the Shoulders, etc.
Be Here Now... I'll start with What's the Story. You know, I absolutely love Don't Look Back in Anger. What a great track. To be honest, when that album first came out, I was like, well, what have they done, what's going on, you know? but as with you know, I find that Oasis tracks are growers, if you like. You know, you listen to them again and again and again and go, But the initial listen, if you like, I was like, what the fuck have they done? Hang about. I mean, you could again tell there was money spent on there. Don't Look Back in Anger. Don't Go Away.
Yeah.
Just great tracks. There's excellent tracks out there,
I mean, something, once again, I need to, I'll dig out the person's name and give them credit for it, but the question was about when you heard, you know, when you heard the Morning Glory tracks, were you thinking, I mean, were there Morning Glory tracks that you had heard and worked on together with the band, and then...
There was, yes. Yeah. And there was a couple, and now it was a bit, I've got to admit, it was a bit hazy, but I was like, yeah, I did, you know, but I don't know for what reasons, maybe a lot of it was held close to his chest, why, you know, Lord knows why, but 100% there was a couple of, without a doubt, a couple of tracks, so, what was the other one that we had for years?
All Around the World is from 92.
There you go. Yes. And I don't see anything, you know, dissimilar with it. Do you know what I mean? There's not much difference in the structure, if you like. Fair enough, you take it to a studio, you get a different slant on it, but quality, if you like. And Yeah, I was like, wow, you know, but then he did claim that he wrote it 10 minutes on the train to the studio. I'm like, no, you fucking didn't.
Well, there's footage of it in rehearsal in 1991, so.
Deny that, do you know what I mean? Like, he's good at it, the master of the one-liner, as they call him. He's just great.
No, that's fine. We got David J on Live Forever Forum says, what's your memories of recording the demo of Columbia with the real people? Did you have to play along on a click track in order to keep time with the chant sample on the outro?
No, not at all. No, I think everything was completed in the. I think this is the case. They just put everything over the top of it. Whether that's all in time, I really don't. It's something I might have to listen to. But at the time, you know, you come out in a bloody state out in that bloody studio at 4 a.m. Oh my God, yeah. So you know, I'd have to go to work 2 hours later, making it home down the M62 to get to work, like driving on the cat's eyes.
And they're digging into it. So whose idea was? Do we know what that sample was? Do you know anything about that sample that was used?
I'm going to go with Chris Griffiths on there, without a doubt. You know, again, they were much more experienced in the studio than us and could hear the vibe and threw little bits in and then his own chants. I think there's a version where he, there is a version, 100%, that I think there's a case where Liam sings one verse and he sings the chorus and vice versa around.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. And have you got any photos from the from those sessions? At all?
No.
Did you not take? I mean, I suppose there just wasn't camera phones and things in those days, was there? So people just didn't take as many photos.
No, it's something we, you know, if someone turned up with a camera, we'd be like, "What the fuck are you doing with that?" Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it just wasn't relevant. You know, we were there to, with no disrespect to anybody or yourself, it's like we never. God, I wish I did. I wish I took photos from the word go.
Yeah,
I really did. So yeah, I'd have my own book of photos out there by now. But
yeah,
we never thought like that. I mean, I'd say when we were on the road, me and Bonehead, you know, once we somewhat got successful, me and Bonehead, God, I'm sure there was like, you know, the just the regular camera, the round, what did you call them? Yeah, a little camera reel, if you like. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I know we went through probably maybe 10 or 15 cameras, and them they were left in Bonehead's bag, and we'll get them developed one day, and then get them developed one day. But it wasn't, you know, it was just memories, if you like.
Yeah.
So it was supposed to be memories. Where they ever went, Lord knows. Obviously, Bonehead has lost them somewhere too. So.
Brian Garcia's got them, mate.
He has, hasn't he? I know he has. Yes. I'm on to him. Don't mind the bonus, Garcia.
Brian, one day you'll come downstairs and Brian Garcia will be creeping in your kitchen to nick your tea bags or something.
Yeah. And my jeans that he's after.
Here we go. Oh, by the way, that question about the Union Jack guitar was by Matt Yeo. Who's this? Al1159 says, can you ask Tony about the song that's mentioned in Paolo Hewitt's book, The Red, the White and the Blue? Apparently it was an early favourite of the band, but was shelved by Noel as he was worried about the National Front coming onto the band.
I mean, that, what a music, with the music, that song's fantastic, yeah. again, what his motives were or his why at the time, I don't know. But for the music, you know, whatever the lyrics were, I haven't got a clue. But I think what a fantastic track. Mm. Could it have made it over, crossed over? Mm. I don't know. Obviously not.
So you never heard in any of the other songs? You thought, oh, that's been reused or something?
No. I mean, I don't think, again, we were like, it was jammish. It was not the band, we were jamming.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I think, it, you know, we used to rehearse Sundays, so you come in on the back of a rave the night before or something, somewhat up there, if you know what I'm trying to say.
We
were just, it was energy. We jammed for a song for 15, 20 minutes and then, you know, and what, again, as I said, the natural thing about the band, we knew where everyone was going to steer it to, and it was, then we're all there. It was like, it really just was a great and natural band, and we all knew what to do.
Cool. FJ says, anything related to the studio version of I'm the Walrus? We've never heard that yet. Do you remember like recording the studio version of I'm the Walrus?
No, I don't think we ever did.
No?
Unless I've got a look at the back catalogue, I don't think we recorded that in the studio. I think there might have been some kind of live version, if you like.
Yeah, no, it's the live one that got released, but apparently there was a studio version, or there was rumoured to be, but you're saying that you don't think they ever recorded one in the studio, no?
I don't remember that. You know, I'm not going to deny it because it's something I don't remember. It's the truth.
Okay, mate.
You know, might have been all sorts of trouble then releasing the Beatles tracks.
Oh, that's a good point.
I don't know. Yeah.
Cool. Mimi Hops, who's the moderator over on the forum, says, if you were not in Oasis in the early years, what would you have done instead?
Bricklayer,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, my at the time, so most of us, we were all in the building trade. I was an insurance broker till I was 18, and my daughter was born. It was like, I can't survive off £40 a week, and it really was.
Yeah.
I can't survive. So I had to go into the construction game.
Yeah.
Whether I'd still be in it, I'm way up the ladder, I don't know, but I was in the construction till we signed a contract, literally.
Yeah.
And then I had a few years off, I suppose.
Fair enough. And then Mimi says, I'd love to hear your thoughts about music these days. And also, everyone's asking, you know, what's your thoughts on the new Liam single?
Music these days, what's pricked me ears up lately is Richard Ashcroft. His new album, I think that's fantastic. I've touched base with Damon Rincella now and again. He's I think he worked on the album, he's touring with him.
Yeah.
I actually went to see Richard before Christmas in Liverpool, where he had an orchestra behind him, and it was, oh my god, it was spectacular. It was something else, and like, that's what it's all about. Touch them icons, if you like. It's brilliant. It's fantastic. Liam's single, again, a grower, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And no matter what, I'm right behind him, and I really do hope that he does well and that he smashes it with this album. I'm sure he will.
Yeah.
I really am.
Well, we got Noel's. And what about Noel? Any views on Noel's stuff?
No.
No. Okay. Fair enough.
I've got to say the singles. I've never bought an album but the singles that I hear, you know, you can't deny Noel Gallagher's songwriting talent without a doubt. He's fantastic, and he, again, an icon, and he deserves what he's got. He really does.
Yeah. So where was your invite to the 50th birthday party, mate?
Apparently, I missed the signing of the recorded delivery.
Did you?
Something came through the door, and picked your little package up at the post office. And of course, I waited a week to do that, and then I realised it was Noel's invite.
No, oh, that's so, a shame. You could have been there with Madonna and Bono.
Oh yeah, no Madonna, no Bono, no all yeah. As my tongue's in my cheek.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Wiley Jack says, "Can you get Oasis back together, please?"
I'm trying.
All right, mate.
I'm trying. So they've said, "Grow your hair, mate," and we'll consider it. So.
Okay, and what about? I mean, so Rory McBride says, if asked, would you participate in an Oasis reunion tour? I mean, I suppose what about like From the Jam? You know, like the guys have done that. I mean, would you, if you Boned, if you could coax Gwigs out, you know, three of you with a couple of stand-ins, or no chance?
No, not a chance. That would never happen, and I don't think that would be complimentary to the whole thing, really.
No.
So you know, I mean, I can only hope. That if I'm quite sure, by the way, there is going to be a reunion.
Yeah,
that's, I am. That's my opinion. One day that is going to happen. So the next question being, what is going to be the lineup?
Yeah.
So you know, there is only, in no disrespect to anybody who's ever joined Oasis, but there is only 5 hardcore members of Oasis.
Yeah.
So you know, that's, I would think that should be the case, but
yeah,
game politics might determine that. So. Mm.
Yeah, no,
we'll see.
What are we? So any other, here we go. This is on the forum, they bloody love all the digging into kind of the older stuff. So any other song titles that we've never heard, or any songs that you can remember from the early days that we haven't heard about, or the demos that haven't come out? And did you contribute to any songwriting back in the Rain days or very early Oasis?
No, I mean, I only done my own drum parts and would, you know, follow whatever was going on in the room, really. So as lyrics went, no, nothing like that. But, you know, like I say, I think a lot was born out of jamming.
Yeah.
You know, and developing the sound, and then, you know, the next thing is you've somewhat got a song, but no, I definitely didn't contribute that way.
Yeah, cool. And any other songs that you can remember from that time that never made it out or made it into demos?
I've been surprised to see, you know, that, you know, I think we had, what was that, was it an 8-track demo? But, I mean, that's out there on your YouTube.
So yeah.
I can't think of anything that, I think it's all out there somewhere. You will dig it out, like,
yeah.
You will definitely dig it out. So, you know, I'm surprised you talked about Red, White and Blue before, like, wow, you know, that nudged me on, well, yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. We did do that. Other songs, no, even Take Me's out there, that's, yeah. You know, that's right at the beginning.
All
so,
right,
yeah, I can't think.
Yeah. No. All right, on the Reddit, we've got The Man With No Name 81. Was Liam really the toughest kid in school?
Well, I wasn't at his school, but maybe he thought he was. Yeah. So he wasn't the toughest man in our band, anyway.
Who's the toughest in the band?
The drummers, of course. Yeah. They're like prime boxers. Believe me, you don't ever want to feel a drummer's punch.
No.
No.
You got strong arms.
I'm serious.
Here we go. Frank M95 says, "Why am I unable to find happiness in my life?"
Jesus, mate, cheer up. What can I do for him? Ask him what I can do for him. I don't know.
Frank, buy Tony's book, and then I guarantee that will give you happiness.
You buy that book, son, and by the end of it, you'll be laughing your head off. And then,
you will.
Yeah, get in there, son.
You will. Here we go. The King's Wit says, if any of these could possibly be answered, what do you make of Oasis Legacy?
It's way up there. It's a fantastic band. They made a difference to music 90s onwards. There's, you know, a little weak period here and there, but again, you can't deny the force of that band and the influence they had on people in their lives.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, it was a major, 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 major thing.
Yeah. And I mean, in you know, Noel's talked about, oh, they should have quit at Nebworth, you know, or Bonehead said they should have quit after Nebworth and things. I mean, do you think they carried on too long?
There was, you know, I mean, again, hindsight's a great thing. The band were at the peak then. They really were at the peak. So, you know, hindsight, again, is a great thing. I think that Sean Noll has even realised and admitted that, you know, it sort of, you'll lose the momentum, do you know what I mean? The more money maybe that you've got to spend in the studio, the less the things that you've got to write about. In the middle, there was a weak spot without the you know, the singles were fantastic, but
yeah.
Some of it, I hand on my heart, I didn't quite get it. I was like, what?
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is like. But was it the last two albums?
Yeah.
What's the title?
Dig Out Your Soul and Don't Believe the Truth.
Yeah, I think they actually started hitting the force of Oasis, if you like, with some of the songs there.
Yeah.
You know, Hey Lila, and you know, some great tracks on there, and back to being Oasis for me.
Yeah, and with the with the drummers union as well. Do your thoughts on Zach Starkey and then Chris Sharrock as well?
Major compliments to them all. You know, Chris Sharrock, fantastic drummer.
Yeah,
and you know what? And this is not blowing me on trumpet, but I do listen to some of the tracks that of mine that others have performed, and it, you know, maybe I can't do their stuff either, but some of the energy, it's just something a bit different about it. Something lazy, if you like.
Yeah.
And I'm not putting them down anyway, because like I say, all fantastic musicians, but, you know, when I sit back and go, I should be there doing that, you know what I mean? You're not doing that right, mate. Fuck. You know what I mean?
Hey, play my song. Get off. Yeah.
Yeah, get the fuck out of there. Put me wig on.
Yeah, get that wig on, mate. No, well, that's brilliant. I mean, there's so many questions that people have come on, and I don't want to take up all your evening. I know you've got to go and get your missus dinner or get a...
Oh, she's eating it on her own now.
Is she?
The kitchen window, eh? I'm losing out here, kid.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, the only thing, I mean, the one thing that actually someone asked is that... I think this was Christopher Robinson in from Massachusetts asked this, who did my logo, so top man. How was it sort of, you know, trying to manage the family life, you know? So, because that's always what it's more the realism. And that's what I like about your book, is you get the real picture of this is what it's really like on tour. You know, the fact that you're number one in the charts, yet you're living off pocket money, right? And then the fact that...
It's the truth. Yeah.
And how hard it is then to manage with your relationship, and you had a kid as well, so, you know, the reality of dealing with that, really, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there is my daughter Gemma, back then there was a phone call is indirect contact, if you like, so, you know, I'd be phoning her and saying, I'm on Top of the Pops tonight, and she'd be glued to it. I said, I'll wave to you and I'll give you a kiss through the camera and all this lot.
Aww.
And she actually glued herself to the TV. But it was little things like that. And, you know, and then I'd send you can record into a card and stuff. And I always sent her letters and draw a picture of me on drums. And she's still got them letters. It's absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Brett, don't tell Garcia that.
No.
Yeah. But she has, I'm like, oh, my God. I can't deny the relationship I've got with my kids.
No.
Unfortunately, the relationship back then didn't stand the test of time. But, we had a career to...
Yeah.
You know, I'll be back, and I hope that I make everything. I think my goal at the time was to buy a house. That was it.
Yeah.
So, and that would have been a massive chunk out of your life. I didn't think. Did anyone think it'd last so long? I don't know.
Yeah.
But that was it. If I can make a house out of it, then I'm laughing. So
yeah,
that was it. That was my goal.
And you got a house, did you, mate?
Yeah. And then it fell down. Yeah. Now I'm in a fucking shoebox.
We should have pulled out the bricks. Did you never hear about the three little pigs?
Yeah. I think Noel came along and blew it down, you know.
Did he?
Sure
is that right?
I'm fucking sure. But if you ever win the lottery, I'm buying a big mansion next to his and throw eggs down again.
Well, I think that's as good a point as any to leave it here, mate. But you know, thank you so much for your time tonight. I know that the listeners are going to absolutely love it. And you know, and if we can, you know, get you on at some other times, there's a million questions that haven't been answered. So, but yeah, it's just really good to, as I say, to speak to you. And let's see if the numbers beat Brian Garcia's.
Yeah, that's my goal, mate. Yeah, keep retweeting it, kids. Get it out there. And thank James, and a big hello to everyone who's listening.
Wonderful. So, everyone, if you want to get follow Tony's at Tony McCarroll's on Twitter. The book is available from all good bookshops and some rubbish ones. Get out
online,
there,
online, mate. I think you'll find it online now as well. So
yeah. So
very interesting and funny.
Get on Amazon and things like that. It's just it's such a good read. I mean, you know, if anyone hasn't bought it and you're listening to this, what the bloody hell are you doing? If you're an Oasis fan, it is the ultimate. You know, it is the ultimate guide to Oasis. It's the ultimate story. You know, no one else has told the story like that. So, you know,
and a Supersonic film based on it. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, exactly.
You tell White Cross that one.
I will tell. I will play White Cross this. Absolutely, I will.
A big hello to him. He's a great guy.
All right. God bless you. Okay. So, we always play out with a song. So, Tony, any particular song, either from something like by Oasis that you played on, or another band that you'd want me to stick on at the end?
Wow, I didn't expect that one.
Go on.
I'm going to go with Live Forever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think...
Is that a cheesy one?
No. Well, what was... what was cool as well, I don't know if you managed to catch the end of Liam's gig the other night, but the fact that he ended with...
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Really amazing. And his voice, he's in top form. He really is. So yeah. And that was... Wow, to get up there and just do that. Excellent. And fair play to him.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, I'll rip a bit of that live version and we'll stick that on at the end. So, wonderful. Tony, thank you so much for your time, mate. I do really appreciate it. And, hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
Cheers, James.
All right, all the best, mate.
Take care, pal. Bye-bye.